KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Pasayera, an evening of flamenco on Sunday, December 2nd from 8 to 9:30 p.m. at the Milagro Theater in Portland. Seattle-based flamenco dancer Savannah Fuentes presents her latest show. Savannah will be joined by Spanish flamenco artist Pedro Cortez and singer, percussionist, dancer Jose Moreno. Again, that's Pasayera, an evening of flamenco on Sunday, December 2nd from 8 to 9:30 p.m. at the Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. It is 10 o'clock and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up is at 11 is Stage and Studio. Stage and Studio talks to the artistic director of the August Wilson Red Door Project about their new production, Cop Out, Beyond Black, White, and Blue. And 11:30, Art Focus interviews Robert Hoffman of the American Institute of Architects about the 2018 AIA Portland Architecture Awards. And coming up now at 10 is Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO members, listeners, and support from Portland 5 Centers for the Arts, presenting Dorado Schmidt and the Django Festival All-Stars, November 27th at the Newmark Theater. More information online at portland5.com. And now, Flashpoints.
It's 5 p.m. Up next, Flashpoints. Flash today on Flashpoints, Homeland Security and Border Patrol opens fire with tear gas on poverty-stricken Honduran asylum seekers at the U.S.-Mexico border. Young children are gassed and put at risk. Also, the fight to cut off U.S. aid for the Saudi-led slaughter in Yemen comes to a head in Congress this week. We'll have a special report from the Yemen Alliance Committee and a pro-Palestinian billboard censored and taken down in Boston. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. We open up the show with our drumbeat reporting coming from the U.S.-Mexico border, where we have been monitoring for weeks now the caravan, mostly from Honduras. Over the weekend, there were some serious encounters. U.S. border agents fired tear gas on hundreds of migrants protesting, asking to be given a chance to apply for a political asylum. Young children were doused and put at risk. We continue our reporting again, and are delighted to be we're delighted to be joined by Alex Mensing. He's with Pueblos Sin Fronteras, and he's been spending a lot of time down there. Alex, welcome back to Flashpoints. Can you sort of give us your best overview of what happened and what led to that violent encounter in which these very young kids who have been doing a lot of suffering were doused and put at risk?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dennis. So yesterday morning, a very large group of...
Alex, let me ask you to maybe just adjust your position a little bit so maybe we can find a better sound.
Okay. I'm on the move here. I'm in Tijuana right now. Can you hear me right now?
Okay, let's try it.
Hey there, Dennis. Can you hear me?
You know what we're going to do? We're going to call you back, Alex. We're going to call you right back and see if we can get a better line, okay? Just hang up and we'll be right back to you. Again, you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Violence, U.S. border agents fired tear gas on hundreds of migrants protesting near the border with Mexico on Sunday. Some attempted to get through the fencing. People are getting desperate. There are thousands at the border. And the U.S. has essentially cut off their ability to apply for asylum. So it's there are thousands there, and they maybe see 100 a day, and it's turning into a disaster. We're going to see if we can get Alex Mensing back on, because this story clearly is one of the most significant of our time. The way in which the United States government treats the folks who have suffered so much and who are suffering in large part because of as a result of U.S. policies, free trade policies, U.S. policies to use these countries as military bases to control the region. This comes out of the Monroe Doctrine. You know, it's sort of these folks are forced out of their country. They get here, and now what are they greeted with? Tear gas and suffering. Children separated from families, young children lost, hundreds still lost in the system. By the way, we are dialing away because we do care a great deal about that story. So we're working very hard to touch base and see if we can get a better line with Alex Mensing, because there's a lot more we want you to know about it. Coming up later on in the broadcast, by the way, is, again, another crucial story is Yemen and what's going on in Yemen. So you want to stay tuned for that. I think we've got Alex back on. Alex, are you with us?
Hi, can you hear me all right?
That's much better. That's much better. Give us an overview of what you understand happened this weekend that led to the gassing of very young kids.
Yeah, so I think one of the really important things to keep in mind that's been a constant theme in your coverage as well of this issue is the fact that the U.S. government is not respecting people's right to seek asylum in the United States. And what that means right now is that there are thousands of people in Tijuana, many of them members of this exodus of Central Americans, and many of them who were previously here, who are waiting in Tijuana in very dangerous areas with lack of humanitarian assistance to be able to have an opportunity to exercise their legal right to seek asylum in the United States. And so with the arrival of this of the exodus, there's a huge number of people who are stuck in this kind of improvised shelter under extreme conditions, not always enough food or water, not enough shelter. And there are people who are desperate to find a solution to this problem and to be able to, you know, keep in mind these are people whose families, whose children back home in Honduras are facing death threats and starvation. So we knew, Pueblo Sin Fronteras knows and was talking to people about the possibility of a violent response to any sort of gathering on the border, but people have been insisting on demonstrating to speak out against the lack of respect for the right to seek asylum. And so they decided to host a peaceful demonstration outside of the port of entry, and that's how it left when it left yesterday morning. I wasn't at the shelter when it left. I was waiting at the port of entry for it to arrive, but the folks we had with the group let me know that when they got to a bridge that goes over a canal, kind of an empty concrete canal over to the port of entry, there was a very large number of Mexican federal police agents blocking their way. After a while, the result of this was that people started going around, and in the federal police splitting the group into smaller units, people began to run in the ensuing chaos. Some people ended up in the port of entry. Some people ended up in other areas along the wall because they were essentially corralled that way as they ran by these blockades of federal police. And the result was then as groups of these Central Americans ended up along the border fence, Border Patrol opened fire both with tear gas canisters and with rubber bullets. I was present along the fence for the first volley of tear gas and rubber bullets. One guy standing next to me was hit in the ribs and in the hand by rubber bullets. And we were doing the best we could to calm people down as well. But the same two actors who organized, so to speak, the exodus, which are, in our opinion, death, violence, death and hunger, are the ones who are motivating people to demonstrate and demand that their right to asylum be respected. And many of the people who I spoke with, when I asked them, why do you continue to go up to the wall knowing that Border Patrol is waiting to launch volleys of tear gas into Mexican territory at you? And they said, we just want to turn ourselves in, and we can't at the port of entry because we've tried. We've walked up to the officers at the port of entry, and they tell us to go away, that there's no space.
Wow. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Say a little bit more about the conditions there. How many people are there now? And what are the living conditions like?
Well, there's a sports center called Benito Juarez in Tijuana, in a pretty rough neighborhood right by the border, where there are at least 5,000 Central Americans sleeping. Some people at this point are sleeping outside. Some of them are in kind of this muddy baseball field. And it's true that the municipality of Tijuana doesn't have enough resources to support a population like this. And it's unfortunate that not only the Mexican federal government, but the international community has not been able to provide enough humanitarian assistance to provide for dignified living situation for people. And keeping in mind, like we were talking about earlier, the fact that there are even this number of people stuck here at all is primarily because of the U.S. refusal to allow people to seek asylum. And so there are, this is a neighborhood that is known for extreme violence, for trafficking, unfortunately, in some circumstances. There are children sleeping out essentially in makeshift tents made of garbage bags that have been torn to pieces. And so as a mother with their kids, I mean, some people might say, well, why did you walk up to the port of entry? Why did you walk up to the border knowing that the U.S. government might crack down on you? And that's because they're watching their children wake up every morning and not having enough to eat and sleeping under these conditions. And so the whole mess is a demonstration of the complete and utter failure by the Mexican government, the U.S. government, and the international community to respond with a real solution to this refugee crisis of people who have been forcibly displaced, in many cases, by U.S. foreign policy from Central America.
Now, to be clear, what you're saying, in essence, is this is really a manufactured crisis. It's the Trump administration wanting to create crisis by undermining the legal process of applying for asylum and putting people who have suffered some of the most difficult indignities and hardships of life to suffer still again. And the idea that these folks would be doused. And I forgot to ask you, young children were also hit with the gas. We had some pretty troubling reports about what happened with the kids. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. I was walking with a couple of the kids whose mothers were trying to carry them away from the area that was full of tear gas. There were babies, women, children with crying. I mean, the children were terrified in this. One of the members of Pueblo Sin Fronteras spent a good part of the morning consoling a girl who had had to flee as volleys of tear gas, which are, they're noisy when they get fired off. When they get fired off, these are extremely noisy, and it sounds like you're getting shot at, which essentially you are, especially with the addition of the rubber bullets. In terms of what the scene looks like, where you've got these uniforms, Border Patrol agents launching volleys of tear gas at a gathering of Central American refugees with families, it's just apocalyptic the way it looks, with tear gas flowing everywhere. And I think one of the things that's also good to keep in mind about this whole situation is that it's the asylum seekers who come here are not the ones creating this kind of violent situation. Like you said, it's not only is it a manufactured crisis, but when the U.S. government decided on several occasions in the days previous to this outbreak to shut down the border, the port of entry, not only car traffic but pedestrian traffic between Tijuana and San Diego, that was a deliberate attempt to create ill will, not only in San Diego but in Tijuana, against the Central American exodus, who everybody blames for the border getting shut down when there was absolutely no justification to do so. There had been no sort of violent uprising by the members of the exodus. These are people who have simply been trying to exercise their right to gather and protest and speak out for their rights.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're speaking with Alex Mensing. He is with Pueblo Sin Fronteras. He's at the U.S.-Mexico border, and he's been with that members of that Honduran caravan that were rather brutalized, in a way that the Border Patrol and U.S. security forces did not have to. The force that they used was significant, and the force and it was being used against the people that was so demeaning.